You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc. And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And we're going through what we're sort of internally or between Jody and I calling like the basics, where we're wanting to make sure we talk about all of the things that impact pans or pandas ways that they can be addressed in a little bit more detail than Jody talked about in her overall introduction. And then also how homeopathy affects those basics. And today we're talking about a big one. It's mold. Mold is a really hot topic for so many things related to human health, and especially for anything related to inflammatory conditions, both for children and for adults. So it obviously is a big factor when it comes to pans and healing. So let's just go ahead and dive right in, Jody. Let's talk about mold and how much it impacts pans or pandas. And I'm going to say that, like, I know that you guys have had a lot of experience with mold, both in the stages where it was really problematic for you, and then also stages where you've recognized that, like, exposure to mold has helped you to see how far you've come. So tell us a little bit about your family's experience with mold.
Oh, I hate mold. I don't know anybody that likes mold though. So I think that there were a lot of small factors that kind of set Avery up for going down the pans tunnel. But I feel like mold was probably one of the biggest factors. At the time, we were living in a house we didn't know had mold in it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Avery was getting sicker and sicker. But at the same time, my whole family was getting sicker. My younger daughter was just incredibly, incredibly sick. My husband and I were both sick. And then finally we found mold after we had started the whole PANS journey. We were already in, you know, mainstream and functional medicine, trying to work through stuff with nothing working. And then eventually we found mold. And one of the things I hate about mold is there's no book on how to do mold, right? People always ask, like, what do you do? How did you test? How did you remediate? How did you all these things? And there's 47 different ways to do it, and none of them are right and none of them are wrong. It's just, you know, the way we did it was, you know, we tested, we remediated, and then we retested. You know, for me, I opted, even after having an all clear test, opted to move out of the house that we were in. But, you know, as we started homeopathy, this, and we talked about in the last episode, that I would have never believed that homeopathy could do, not just with my PANS girl, right? My whole family has helped us all kind of slowly detox and recover from the damage that the mold did to our bodies. And it was significant. We were all having like really, really rough symptoms. You know, none as bad as PANS, but it was rough on all of us. And homeopathy just kind of helped slowly detox and repair all of the damage that the mold had caused in all of us.
Yeah. So mold is a touchy subject. And I will say that since you have gone through the mold stuff, because that's been a while for you, there are some really good books out there. One that I will mention for sure is one by Dr. Jill Krista. That's called Breaking the Mold. That's a good one. And then there's another one called Surviving Mold. I've got it over here. It might be at home. It's a Surviving Mold, and I think it was by Schumacher, and he's a well-known expert in mold. It's dense. It's dense for sure. But the reality is that just much like, you know, people who are listening to this are parents, right? And so it's just like sleep, infant sleep. There's like a whole bunch of different ways. And when there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can address it, there's no right one way that is right. And so you have to figure out what works best for you and for your family and your overall situation. And I say this because some of the people will say, like, basically burn your house to the ground and like get rid of every single thing that you own that's ever been in a house that's moldy and move on and start again, and that no amount of mold is ever okay. And then there's people who are recognizing that there's only so much you can do about mold. Yes, high levels, if you've got like black mold and water damage building, that does need to be addressed because it's not good for human health, period. And so you need to address the mold in the home to stop it from growing. And you also need to address anything that's going on in your body as a result of it. And then there's lots of different ways to address it, right? But then they've got, so there's, that's pretty consistent across the board, right? And then you've got the people who say no mold is safe amount of mold. And so you should, you just can't have any mold at all. Like even the mildew in your shower is dangerous and it's causing health problems. But the reality is like, there's mold in the air. There's mold. If you have any running water in your home, there's going to be some little aspects that where mold can grow. And you can be diligent and stay on top of it, but we also need to address that susceptibility. And I'm going to say this in probably every episode that we ever talk about is that we have to address the susceptibility to your unique response to mold. And I say this because as Jody was saying that everybody in her family had the experience of being unwell as a result of having mold exposure. They all had very different symptoms.
Yep.
And so everybody having that external presentation of that internal like susceptibility is these different ways that we have a reaction to mold. So not everybody who has exposed to mold has neuropsychiatric symptoms or PANS. Some people have respiratory symptoms. Some people have skin symptoms. Some people have cognitive symptoms that, you know, could be closer to that neuroinflammatory, that neuropsychiatric type of presentation, but it's just really going to be different. And that's really where, again, homeopathy comes in, is addressing that susceptibility. So this is one of those things that homeopathy plus some remediation and some changes work really, really well together. I'm not going to go into the details on specific ways to handle remediation or specific protocols that people will do to try and deal with mycotoxins that they've identified internally, because that's just not my area of expertise. I have a good amount of training in it, but there are people who are much better at that we will invite to come and speak to you at a later time on this particular topic. What we're really going to focus on is that susceptibility component with mold. And so Jody, tell us a little bit more about your experience in the healing over time.
I'll talk about first when we were in functional medicine, because the functional medicine provider that we went to was adamant, like, you got to detox the mold, you got to give this and do that binder and all of these things. And we did that with Avery, and every single time she would have these wild and crazy, like, Herx reactions, whatever type of reaction, like she would have major skin reactions, GI reactions, like everything would just kind of go crazy in her. And it's like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? This is never going to work. And then shifting into homeopathy and you're like, no, you don't have to do the binders. Let's let her body do it slowly over time. And that's essentially exactly what happened. Very slowly over time, her body went through this slow detox process that was gentle enough that she didn't have any type of reaction to it whatsoever. And just was kind of the damage that mold had caused. I could see that slowly getting better over time. Obviously, her PAN symptoms were getting better. But even after the fact, going and having several mold exposures and seeing how she responds to that, it was just wild, because, like you said earlier, mold's never going to go away. Like, we addressed the big bad mold issue. We've had multiple mold issues since then. Yeah. It is, like you said, it's always going to be there. We went into an RV for a while, and we had a leak in the little water tank in the RV. We had mold in the RV. We bought a brand new house. The plumber that the builder hired didn't connect a pipe to a bathtub. We had a major mold issue with that. Back when Avery was in the RV, we had the mold issue. She was newer to homeopathy. I did see symptoms get worse. Once she got through, because whenever the mold incident in our home happened, she was well into her healing journey. She was doing really well. In fact, I think she was almost completely done. And we had that mold incident and it was significant. And my younger daughter had started having really rough symptoms. My husband and I, you know, my husband went back into rough breathing stuff. I went back into some skin stuff and some itching and like my usual mold stuff. And Avery was pretty good. She had one little symptom and she, you know, that was a matter of a remedy change and she was over it relatively quickly. The big pans boom that I'm sure would happen if she was exposed to mold again, didn't happen. Her immune system handled it very, very well for anyone, especially a former PANS kiddo. So it's been neat. And we've actually since then had a couple of little minor mold things where, you know, we found a little tiny bit of mold and haven't seen any symptoms whatsoever in Avery. So it's really neat to kind of see that all the way through.
So like I said, we're not going to go into specifics of like, take this supplement or take this binder or do this particular test or anything like that. Because for some people, it's not really necessary. And for some people, it's not accessible because many of these things are not covered by insurance, like so many things with dealing with PANS. Most things in, you know, the integrative and functional and natural health world are not covered by insurance. And so between the testing and then all of the remediation and the cost of remediation, and especially if it's levels that are not covered by homeowners insurance or whatever that happens to be, or if you don't even own your home and you can't get your landlord to do it because it's not something that is required by law based off of the levels or whatever it happens to be, homeopathy can help. And so let's talk a little bit about how homeopathy helps and the genetic component of mold sensitivity and how homeopathy can still be effective. And then where there are some limitations with homeopathy. So I will say up front that when Jody was going through her biggest mold experience with her PANS daughter, she did have the advantage of her daughter being at home with her full time and she wasn't in school. So there was the ability to control the environment in a lot more consistency than some people have if your children are in school and not refusing school. So one reason if there is mold sensitivity and like a mold reactivity as a component that homeopathy has to be part of your healing plan is that, again, you can't deal with the mold that's just in the air, that, you know, when you go outside to get some fresh air and sunlight and exercise or whatever, that there will be mold that you're exposed to at different times of year. And depending on where you live, there's going to be higher levels of mold. Mm-hmm. And again, in your home, like you can control it to an extent, but there's going to be stuff that shows up as long as you have running water in your home. So we have to address the susceptibility with homeopathy because we cannot completely avoid it. The way that homeopathy really helps is, again, with that underlying susceptibility, which does include the genetic component. Because some people will say to me, but I have the HLA variant that makes me more susceptible to mold reactivity. Yes, and they're not complete knockouts. It's just more susceptible versus less susceptible, which is a part of your overall susceptibility. And so it helps with the totality of everything. So yes, you might just be always more susceptible to mold sensitivity, but if we can make sure that everything that goes into like helping your body detoxify also is working as best as it possibly can, then we're going to reduce your susceptibility and increase your ability for your body to process whatever comes in so that we're, again, reducing overall reactivity to it and reducing that inflammatory load in the body. So with homeopathy, Jody mentioned like gentle detox. It's a gentle detox, but it's not a detox in the way that a lot of people think, where you take this and this and this to like pull things out and bind them and then get them out of your body. It's about using your body's own detoxification mechanisms. Like people don't think about it. Like our body is already meant to identify things that shouldn't be there and get them out of us, whether it's an immune component or if it's a toxic component. Our body has ways to sequester and hide or pull it out and get it out of our system. So what homeopathy does is it helps with the getting it out and our natural ability to do it. And the good thing about this, where Jody brought up it being really more gentle, Is it by not being forceful, by not trying to pull things out of sequestration, but just trying to optimize our ability to get the toxins out of our body? We're not putting a whole lot of things into our bloodstream that we then have to deal with getting out while we're also still struggling to have those detoxification pathways work really effectively on their own. So we're not mobilizing a bunch to then just deal with it and not have the capacity to deal with it as effectively. We're also not dealing with the potential side effects of some of the things that can be used to pull out, bind, et cetera. And so that's really where the gentle detoxification comes from. So we're just increasing the body's ability to function as it's supposed to on its own, and at the same time, reducing susceptibility. The thing is, it can take time. And one of the limitations it can come in is if you are constantly living in a place or going to school or working in a place that is a water damaged building and has a lot of mold, homeopathy is only going to get so far because you're essentially trying to bail out a boat that's got a big hole in it. And so the water is coming in while you're also trying to get it out. So you're going to reach a point where like no further healing can occur until you do something to address this other issue. And that's really where for some people, more mild and moderate remediation comes in, and not having to necessarily get rid of everything that they own, but take care of like a bigger problem. Or for some people, if they're not having that ability to just be at home and have a more controlled environment, using some binders can be helpful. And that can be even something as simple as, you know, making sure that you have a lot more fiber in your diet, or taking one relatively mild supplement, that kind of thing. There are challenges though, because binders in general, if it's going to bind a toxin, it's also going to bind nutrients. And so having the right timing that something is taken matters. And that can also become a part of a problem when kids are on their own or at school and trying to like figure out how to get them a binder between their meals so they can still get as many nutrients from their meals, but have the binder. So it just gets really complicated. And like I said, I'll see if we can get one of those experts that I know to come and chat with us at some point to give people a little bit more of just the like functional and detox management of mold outside of homeopathy. But we're hoping that we can give you some hope that if that's not accessible to you for financial reasons or logistical reasons, or you're just concerned or you had a bad reaction to it, that's another thing. Some people have really negative reactions to some of the detox, like the forceful detoxes that people do. So if you've tried it and it just hasn't gone very well for you and you just feel terrible and you can't stomach the idea of doing it again, that homeopathy could still be an effective way to help address the detoxification challenges that you're having, as well as that susceptibility to those toxins in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of all these examples as you're talking, like all I feel like I don't ever have a ton to talk about with the mold stuff, but then as you're sitting here talking, I'm like, oh my gosh. So like all these different things where like Avery is okay with mold, after going through the healing journey, like there is a certain store in my hometown that I know has mold in it, 'cause I get super sick at my stomach every single time we go in. Now we can go in there and I still get a little bit of stomachache, and Avery's totally fine. She used to get super crazy when we went into the store. And even with the weather where we live, you know, it gets really wet certain times of the year and the mold levels go up super high. And that used to be a problem for her. That would definitely add to her pans bucket and make things much worse. And now she has no reaction to those whatsoever. So it's just neat seeing the after, seeing that nice, even keel immune system doing what it's supposed to do, even when there is an exposure to mold. It's a, you know, bad mold.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we see this for so many people that they are able to recognize that they're in a moldy environment because the parents are now the ones having the bigger reactions, not the kids who are doing, have healed with homeopathy or in the process of healing with homeopathy. And so it really is about variability and how people express their susceptibility to things and where they're at in their level of overall health and their inflammatory load. So I hope that this was a helpful, like, very basic introductory to mold. I know it is not going to be the be all end all answer to here's all the things that you need to do. But in our short episodes here, we're wanting to really give you some insight into like the overall thought process and some different ways of thinking about mold. And we probably have a very different way of talking about mold than a lot of what other people have heard. So we do have conversations related to mold, again, related to homeopathy in our Facebook group that you're welcome to join if you suspect that your child has PANS or PANDAS. It's Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS. We'll put a link in the show notes. There are lots of other groups. I don't have specific ones that I endorse, but lots of other groups that you can go to learn more about mold specifically. So Facebook is a really great resource for finding out a lot more about this type of thing as well. And then again, I'll put a link in the show notes to Dr. Krista's book, as well as Dr. Schumacher's book, so that you can take a look at those if you wanted to check out a little bit more if you think that mold is a big issue for you. In our next episode, we are going to talk about PANS and allergies, because that's another thing that can be a big trigger for these kiddos. So we hope you'll join us there.
Hi, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.